I'm Wolfgang and reading the Bible this morning from 1 Peter, verses 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Good morning. My name's Caroline. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at St. James. And let me pray as we start our time together. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, do you know what the most livable city in the world is? Sydney? Paris? New York? Shanghai? Well, the answer is Vienna in Austria. There you go. The livability index is the annual assessment of locations around the world that you can decide on where to live. What's the best city? What's the worst living conditions? The livability index is based on things like stability and healthcare, culture, the environment, etc. And if you make it to the top 10, then it tells us that there are few, if any, challenges to the living standards you live in the city that you live in. You'll be excited to hear that in 2021, Sydney was 11th. Not too bad, but we were beaten by Melbourne, who came in at 9th. But at least we're not living in the bottom 10 with Damascus and Tehran in Syria. You score low on the index for prevalence of violent crime, threat of terror, threat of military conflict or civil unrest. And of course, livability is increased by the numbers of theatres and art galleries and high schools and no doubt good coffee. It's a fascinating survey and I think it gives us a bit of an insight into what we expect as we search for the good life. Our future should be one of stability and ever-increasing comfort and happiness. And we worry about things that will be a threat to our joy and happiness. And the greatest threat, the greatest joy killer, suffering, trials, and grief. There is no place for them in the good life equation. Well, today's passage from 1 Peter, we receive a startling challenge that as followers of Jesus, joy can be experienced in the very midst of suffering. Joy and suffering are not opposites according to the scriptures. but instead to be enjoyed together as we live out our lives before Christ. In 1 Peter, as we looked at last week, a letter written to God's church in the first century, Peter describes his hearers as exiles, people who are not at home, who are scattered and out of kilter with the society and culture they live in. And as we continue in the letter, we see that they are a group of Christians who are facing challenges and real persecution for their faith, most likely localised abuse and disadvantage. But Peter is writing to them to encourage them in their faith and lifting them up to see the wonderful blessings that they have in as Christians, and painting a radical picture of a life lived joyfully in the midst of suffering and persecution. And as we live in Sydney, the 9th most livable city in the world, or no, the 11th most livable city in the world, we don't experience persecution or abuse or death for our faith. However, we do experience something of being exiles, of living in a strange land. As Christians, we are often called to be different from the people around us, and that puts us out of step with our society. And so today's passage in 1 Peter reminds us of some key truths. The first, that we have received a living hope, that we can know the value of suffering, and that we can continue to trust in an unseen Jesus. Peter speaks to a vulnerable people, and he reminds them, as this letter opens, of all that they have received from God. In verse 3, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Peter praises God for his actions towards them in love and mercy and grace. He has gifted them new birth into a living hope. It's a wonderful picture, the image of new birth, and a radical picture of a start of a whole new life, a complete restart that we receive in Christ as we come to faith. It signifies being part of a new family, in a new relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. And it reminds us that God is the source of new life. He gives life to us and we receive it. And we're giving a new birth into a living hope. A living hope because we hope in a living Saviour through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Our hope is grounded in the victory of Jesus over death. And it is sure and certain because Christ is alive and he has secured a place where death and sin are defeated. Jesus is alive, and so he can truly protect us and care for us and rule. And the hope is living because Jesus energizes that hope in us through his Holy Spirit. And hope here is not just about being a bit more upbeat or being optimistic or pushing through with the power of positive thinking. In fact, it's not based on you at all. It is a gift. It is a gift to be received, and it is given to us by God as we are reborn into a supernatural hope. We have received new birth into a living hope and also an inheritance. In verse 4 and 5, it tells us, "and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God, in his mercy, has given us an inheritance that is untouchable by all the challenges and threats his people will face. And what is that inheritance? It is the keeping and securing of your salvation until Christ returns, an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, an inheritance that is unlike all the other things that we experience in life. It is untouchable and it is secure. And it would have been a really important thing for vulnerable people to hear. For the receivers of the letter scattered across West Asia. And also for us as we feel the uncertainty of faith. We need to hear that our future is safe, that our salvation is safe, and that we have nothing to worry about. We may face trials, but our inheritance is safe. And our salvation is not based on whether we can push through or toughing it out or gritting your teeth and bearing it, but instead it is based on God's faithfulness to you. And our inheritance is kept for us in heaven. It's secured by the God of the universe, and we know who that God is. He is full of mercy. He has already acted, giving us new birth in the Lord Jesus. He is the God who you can trust and who is keeping your inheritance safe for you. It is utterly safe and secure and untouched by your current experiences of trials. And more than that, God promises that he will protect faith and shield it till the end of time. The inheritance that is kept safe in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. It's a reminder that as we live out our salvation, it's God's massive power that secures and shields us as we trust in him until the return of Jesus. It is not dependent on your ability to persevere, it is dependent on God, who is kind and powerful and worthy of your trust as he protects you and your faith. It would be a bit like if you inherited several billion dollars from a rich aunt. The inheritance is in gold bullion and it's kept safe for you in the safest bank in the world, which obviously would be in Switzerland, in an underground safe that you need facial recognition, fingerprint ID, voice recognition, and a password to get into. It's totally safe. And it's not just safe, but your aunt also hires the best security detail in the world, perhaps even better than the President of the United States. And they are there to protect you, to ensure that you can get to the bank to pick up your inheritance. The security detail will protect you from all the challenges and threats that you face as you go to claim that inheritance. Robbers, criminals, and your siblings who are a bit miffed that you inherited. Your aunt's inheritance is perfectly safe, and you are protected as you wait to get it. And the problem with the illustration, well, it doesn't even begin to capture the inheritance, the true security of your salvation, because God's keeping far exceeds any worldly bank, and his security and protection is far more impressive than any earthly security detail. This passage reminds us that we are safe, we are protected. So today, if you're feeling vulnerable in your faith, if you're worried about your ability to persevere, if you're plagued by doubts, then don't look to yourself. Look instead to your Heavenly Father, who is full of mercy, who has given you life and salvation, and who is keeping your future safe, salvation safe, and protecting you, shielding you until the end. This safety and security and this sure inheritance allows us to see the value of suffering for Christ. Verse 6. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. The certain hope which lies ahead made rejoicing possible for the original hearers of this letter. For the early church, it allows them to persevere in faith in the very midst of persecution and trials, and more than simply persevere, to greatly rejoice. I think it's a shocking statement, this verse, and it challenges our culture's simplistic equation. Good things equals happiness and therefore joyful living. Bad things equals sadness, sorrow, anguish, and hopelessness. Instead, here we see a new equation for the followers of Jesus. They can greatly rejoice in the very midst of sufferings and trials because they know that God will shield them and keep them and ultimately bring them home. They will continue to suffer griefs in all kinds of trials, but it will be just for a short time. It will be difficult and challenging, but the certainty of what lies ahead and the value of this time of trial will allow them to experience joy. Life is not random and chaotic, but one where God is working for the good of those who believe. And suffering also has another value in our lives as believers. The trials have come, it says in verse 7, they have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Suffering for Christ and standing up for him as a Christian will work to prove and refine their faith. God will use hard things and challenges to shape and prove their faith, refining it and making it stronger and brighter as they persevere. And what is the result of persevering through times of trial? Praise, glory, and honour for Jesus, certainly. But the unexpected reality of this passage is that praise and glory and honour is for the followers of Jesus who have persevered through trials. They are caught up in his praise and glory. For the hearers of this letter, they face persecution, but they can look forward to a time when they will receive God's praise and honour, and it fills them with joy. Verse 8 tells us that for believers who put their trust in Jesus, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Apostle Peter, who wrote this letter, followed Jesus around for 3 years. He ate with him, he heard him teach, he saw him do miracles and raise people from the dead. Peter saw Jesus crucified and he saw Jesus risen from the dead. He saw him, he touched him, he spoke to him, he ate fish with him. Peter loves Jesus and believes in him, but he had seen him, and he praises the believers who love Jesus and believe in him who have never seen him. I think Peter is struck by their faith in the midst of trials because they have a greater belief and trust without the physical evidence that he was privileged to experience. And it's certainly true for us as well. And often one of our struggles, that we believe without seeing Jesus. And Peter praises the believers, for they have a real and true relationship with Jesus, even though they cannot see him. And it fills them and us with inexpressible and glorious joy. They love Jesus, they believe in him, and they wait in joy. These are believers whose lives have been transformed. They are filled with joy because they love Jesus, and they do that right in the middle of trials and suffering and persecution. And that is the same faith we have today, to love and believe in Jesus as we look forward to a time when he will be revealed and when we receive our inheritance, the salvation of our souls. And if you are not a believer today, or if you're exploring and searching, then this is an incredible picture of what a Christian is. It's someone who believes and loves Jesus. And you might like to become part of our Simply Christianity course, which starts next Monday. It's a course that helps you look to Jesus and to see him as you read the book of Luke. Now, it's always tricky when we talk about joy when so many of our community here experience significant depression and related mental health challenges. For those of you who are in this place, it's important to remember some of the truths that we see in this passage today. You must remember that salvation is a gift from God, not based on your happiness or your ability to perform. You must remember that salvation is a gift of new birth into a living hope. And for those of you who find joy so difficult, I think the key thing for us is to be part of a community that can care for you, that can pray for you, and can encourage you. And whereas a community here at St. James, we can hold out joy and hope to each other. I think one of the other challenges of this passage is that for us living in Sydney, we face very little persecution or trials. And so we can miss out on joy because we forget that we are exiles living in a foreign land. I think the real danger for us is forgetting that we are those exiles, and in that, forgetting the blessings of God and forgetting that we love and believe in the Lord Jesus. So my encouragement today as we finish up is to develop habits that help us remember God's goodness and to build our joy muscles. So two things I think we can do this week: take time to remember and grow in our thankfulness. I think we need to take some time to slow down and remind ourselves of God's truth and to work that deep into our heart. And I have a couple of suggestions of how we can do that. Maybe take some time today to write out a section of today's Bible reading, maybe the part that most stands out for you, and write it on a piece of paper and put it somewhere where you can see it at all and each every day this week. You can put it on your fridge, on your bathroom mirror for when you clean your teeth, on your screensaver on your phone. I have a friend who uses a whiteboard marker and puts it on her bathroom tiles. Give that a go. And then take 5 minutes each day to remind yourself of the truth that scriptures give us. Remind yourself that you are loved, that you have been born into a living hope, that your salvation is safe. And grow as you remind yourself not of your everyday situations and your struggles, but instead the life that is defined by the truth of who you are in Christ. And then next week, after the sermon, do the same thing. Another way to grow joy is to grow in thankfulness and to start a thankfulness journal. In your phone or in your written diary, take 5 minutes at the end of each day to write down just one thing that you are thankful for. It can be something that's every day, that happened as you did your day before God. And some days it might be hard to find one thing, but if you're finding it hard and bleak, then open 1 Peter chapter 1 and write down the truths about God and yourself that you learn. Thank God that he is rich in mercy, that he has given you a living hope, that an inheritance is kept for you. And then take some time next Sunday take a few minutes next Sunday to read what you wrote across the week and then give thanks. I did this a couple of years back. For several months in my diary, I wrote down something I was thankful for every day. It was a bit tricky some days, but I was really encouraged when I pulled that journal out and looked at it and looked back at it to see what I was thankful for. I pulled it out just this week as I prepared this sermon, and they made me laugh, the things I'd written. Some of them seemed so small and absurd. And yet for me, it was a really significant time in growing in being a thankful person, and I think that allowed me to be joyful in God. So that might be something that you might like to try this week. So let me pray as we finish that we have received a living hope, that we know the value of suffering and rejoice because we trust and love an unseen Saviour. Please pray with me. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing we have received through the death and resurrection of our Saviour. In your great mercy, you have given us new life into a living hope and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We look forward to Christ's return and pray that as we wait, that you fill us with your joy. Keep us from the danger of apathy and instead help us to remember Jesus and grow in thankfulness and joy to the praise of our glorious Lord. Amen.